So is there like a part of your body that you miss? Like, I think back about like when I was like 20 years ago, my butt was round and firm. And like now, it's almost like a couple of pancakes. If they were made by a blind man.
Well, if hanging out and drinking is something that you want to do, well, let me introduce you to my boys, Matt and Drew. For fun and laughs and spirits, there's just one place to go. It's time for the Whiskey Tequila Friday Show. Whiskey Tequila Friday Show with my boys, Matt and Drew.
Happy Friday, Drew.
Happy Friday, Matt.
And happy Friday to everybody out there. And welcome to another wonderful episode of Whiskey Tequila Fridays, our podcast where we drink some whiskey.
We drink some tequila.
We educate.
And we libate.
All right. My name is Matt. I am the uncertified whiskey hunter. And with me, as always, my tequila teammate, Drew. What's up, man?
I'm really excited for this one.
It's been a little... Oh, our loyal listeners, only they will know, but they'll get
right,
it.
Yeah.
All right. So we finally have come back around to this budget beginner.
Right.
Brief. A brief beginner budget buy.
Yeah. Yeah. No need to geek out too far or geek in too far.
Or geek in.
Yeah.
All right. Let's delay no further. I brought the JTS Brown Bottled in Bond Kentucky Bourbon.
Very nice. And where is that made?
Oh, it's a Heaven Hill product.
Yeah, one of your favorites. And I brought the Cascojin Blanco. This one happens to be a Mexico release, but that means that it's not quite 80 proof.
Yeah.
76 proof.
Just under the level.
Yep.
Yeah. But not enough that it's going to make that big of a difference, right? I mean...
No, I don't think... No. In fact, we've been sipping on this a couple of times... It's delicious.
Yeah, and when you're sipping neat, if anything, a few points less, I don't know, what's the word? Crushable?
Crushable.
It makes it a little, I don't know, like you can get through half a bottle in an evening and not be too worried about...
If that's your goal.
I mean, it's happened one too many times.
Yeah,
but with
unfortunately, we do it too often on something that's not 76 proof.
That's what I was going to say. When it's the high proof stuff, you look at the bottle and you're like, oh, morning is going to suck. but yeah. All right. Let's get into this.
So I think this is beginner buy 4.
I believe you're right.
All right. Yeah. And we should revisit what a beginner buy is because it doesn't necessarily mean this is lesser quality. In fact, I'm going to say it's exact opposite. It's still high quality.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we want to try to get the most bang for the buck.
Right.
For something that might be for a beginner.
Right. Okay, so getting into the bang for the buck, one of our criteria for a beginner buy, this is a lot of B's, is budget.
Yes.
So we're looking for a certain price point.
Let's not get too specific because... so much has gotten so out of hand,
sure.
Right?
But these aren't $100 bottles.
Right.
These aren't even $80 bottles.
Right. I would say less than 60 or 50
sure.
would be a good range for a beginner.
I think so.
Yeah. And these are well below that.
Okay.
And then always on the shelf, readily available.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them, maybe not the exact ones.
Right.
The 30.
Right.
But you can get a traditional, what would you call it, the basic... Cascojin Blanco.
Yeah, basic Cascojin line Blanco for sure. Is out there all the time.
And the JTS is actually at the bottom of the shelf at almost every place.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't belong there, but that's where you'll find it.
That's all right.
And then, yes, quality. That was the other one, right? So affordability, availability, and then quality, right? And then the fourth one that is more often in the whiskey world is proof.
Proof.
Right. That... we're dancing on that with 100 proof, but I wouldn't say it's out of the realm. And it's also a great mixable drink, too.
And we've discussed before, too, how sometimes they sip hotter than their proof.
Of course.
This one does not sip hotter. This one even sips lower than 100, I feel like.
Yeah, I would go with that, yeah. And I think a lot of the Heaven Hill mash bill does that. I think it's a soft, sweet kind of a note that lends itself, like the higher rye mash bills can come off spicier, can right. come off hotter than what they might be, but yeah.
All right, yeah. We'll get into this one. All this right. is the JTS Brown? Yeah.
So this is the JTS Brown, bottled in bond. And I think for beginners, getting into a bottled in bond just helps you. It's a proof of quality. You know, you're going to be getting something that's at least 4 years old. You're going to be getting something that's has nothing else added to it, right? We all know bourbon can't have anything added to it.
Right.
But that's
right.
even more specific. It's another qualification in that bottled in bond that nothing can be added except for water to bring it down to that 50%. It's also the same distillation season by the same distiller. And we can go on and on about bottled in bond.
But
and
for the beginner, what they really need to know is that bottled in bond means higher quality, more stringent, I don't know,
yeah,
it's requirements?
It's another level on top of the already strict levels of bourbon.
And when quality was an issue, when there was turpentine put in these things, right? Like this was a whole, this is the first food act of the United States, right? Like
the first consumer act.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It centers around whiskey. I love that. I love that story. So what are you getting on the color? What are you getting on the nose? This has a nice deep color.
It has a good color. This one's a little bit darker, both in color and on the nose, which might give you some hint that it might be slightly older.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be four. It could be 5 or 6 or 7 year old juice.
So
It's at least 4 years old.
Could it be 20? I mean, not that this one is, but it could be anything as long as it's four.
Right. There's no cap on that.
Yeah.
Only a bottom, only a minimum. But I'm pretty sure they would save that for their good
stuff.
Yeah,
no. It was just can we go to the ridiculous,
You're always testing me. I like it, but you're always testing me. It's good.
The nose on this.
Full disclosure, this is the bottle kill. We just finished the bottom of this bottle. But it still keeps its qualities.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of characteristics going on. I still get plenty of oak. I get enough of that red fruit. You know, there's still some cherry in there, some of that raspberry that I love, a typical Heaven Hill sweetness and a little bit of a spice hit, but not too hot, not rye or mint or anything like that. Just a lot of really nice, soft, sweet notes.
I'm with you. Knowing Heaven Hill, bottom shelf, bottled in bond, what's the price on this?
I think it can go under $20.
That's amazing.
Maybe $21.99. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's in line with like the Evan Williams bottled in bond.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's disgustingly affordable.
I'll take it. That does not nose like a $20 bottle.
It doesn't. Oh. No. It smells like a really nice bourbon. Yeah. It's for the value. I think everyone should have some kind of bottle like this on their shelf. And for me, if I'm going for a budget bottle, it's this one. And then it might be the old granddad bonded.
Should we give this a taste? Or is there anything else to discuss? Or are we just going to get into it?
Let's just sip this. Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
First sip, I'm looking at you and you're like staring off into nothing with this little smile shaking your head. What are you getting?
Well, we were just sipping some rather elegant, I think is the word.
Oh, we've got some nice shows coming up.
Elegant and expensive shit. And I said to you, we're going to be stepping down a notch here. I was afraid this one was going to taste, cheap, sour, tannic, bitter?
Oh, sure.
I was prepared for anything. That was lovely.
It was.
And for being the bottle kill, the bottom of the bottle, there is still a good, like a leather note. Yep. I love the leather note that I get in these. A lot of the other Heaven Hill versions, a little brighter, sweeter, simpler. But man, that dark note that comes underneath all the caramel and sweet fruit on top, there's this like leather and oak. Not a real strong woody oak, but like a leathery oak. It's leather, right?
It's leather. And then do I just equate leather and tobacco too often? But it's...
I mean, I didn't get a ton of like wet chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
But there's just a little essence of...
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm thinking of like grandpa's smoking chair, you know?
Yeah,
like
sure.
The same, that old leather recliner that grandpa smoked his pipe in.
But without the smoke.
Without the smoke.
Just the sweet, part of it. How it can almost have a sweetness to it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Now, we got to be careful. This was the bottle kill.
This is all we have.
And it's a healthy pour, but we got a lot of show.
Second sip.
Cheers. Second sip.
Yeah.
You said it before I had a chance to.
More fruit.
And did you get like a creaminess?
I liked the mouthfeel. Yeah. It's really an amazing bottle.
It's like cherry cream soda, you know, like
right.
or strawberries and cream.
Yeah. No, I... What was the cherry whip? Cherry whip?
Whip? Whiskey. Why am I saying what?
But yeah, I can't find a bad word to describe. You know, I can't find a bad thing to say about this whiskey. I think it might have some astringent notes. You might get a little bit of a touch of like an alcohol nose.
Yeah, not at all.
But... overwhelmingly great notes. The creamy mouthfeel, I'm with you.
Maybe on the bottle crack.
Yes.
But this, because this had a chance to mellow. Not long.
No, they don't last long.
Right. I can imagine this doesn't last long in your house. Wouldn't last long here either. But we poured this a couple weeks ago to record.
Right.
And then I surprised you with
right.
Right. So yeah, that's hence the bottle kill at this point. But it's not like it's been sitting around on your shelf for 2 years.
Yeah, no, right. Once they get that low, I try not to let them last too long because all that air can kind of make it go flat. But yes, I love this whiskey. I love Heaven Hill juice.
This is great.
I mean...
$20.
$20.
22. I mean, this should be... Don't tell anybody. It should be twice as much.
But if you... take this to your friend's house and they want to mix it with Coke. They want to put some ginger ale in it.
Who cares? You're not heartbroken.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Mix it up on the rocks, neat, whatever you want. This is a great beginner bottle.
Right. Oh, man.
But let's move on to...
we'll go to the tequila. So again, this is the Cascojuin Blanco. Confirmed additive free alliance. We could geek out about that whole fiasco. This is Nome 1123, one of our favorite distilleries, one that we haven't really put on the show a ton, but we talk about it all the time.
It's quickly becoming one of my favorite.
Yeah, but there's about a dozen brands out of this distillery, and I haven't had them all. But I've had a lot of them, and I've never been disappointed.
Yeah.
This one, again, I got this in Mexico. This is the 76 proof, 38% in Mexico. Once you hit 40%, there's an extra tax that's put on. So a lot of times when you get the Mexican release,
just under that level.
It's under 40%. I don't think it takes anything away.
Oh, what is that? 4 proof? What's that? 4 points?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Very quickly geek out on this one. Founded in 1904. So this has been around for over 100 years.
All right. That's impressive.
This Cascojuin brand, I think, was founded in the 50s, around 1955. So are we approaching 70, 75 years?
Yeah,
it was
sure.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Started by a grandfather, went to the son, and then went to the nephew, who is currently the master distiller, Salvador Rosales Trejo, otherwise known as Chava.
Okay.
Color, I mean, this is just perfectly clear.
Yeah.
Like any Blanco might be.
Right.
Nice legs, kind of sticks to the glass.
Yep.
What are you getting on the nose?
Oh, the nose. I couldn't wait for you to say that.
Oh,
Man, 1123 might have the best nose in tequila.
It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just gonna say it. You know, it impresses me.
I get agave. I get citrus. I get grass.
Yep. Well rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Enough that it doesn't smell lower proof, right? It smells like a really good Blanco. I can't wait. Are you ready?
Salud.
Salud.
First question on the first sip.
All right.
Does that finish drop off quickly or does it linger?
Oh, for knowing what the proof is, that is a wonderful finish.
Right?
For a lower proof, even an 80 proof or whatever it
even
is.
Even at a 90 proof, like that finish lingers.
It's a long finish.
Yeah.
And I really love the balance of everything. No one thing stood out to me. There's a little bit of a grassy note, a little bit of minerality. I even got a little pepper there. That
I was just going to say, I get more pepper on the palate.
Yeah.
Ooh, pepper on the palate?
Pepper on the palate.
I get more pepper on the palate than I ever do on the nose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, not on the nose much at all, but balanced pepper with everything else.
You know what disappeared? I got the citrus. I got some grass. I didn't taste mint. Did you?
Not a ton. No.
Should we go find it?
All right, let's go.
Second sip number two. All right, I want to let the listener in behind the curtain here a little bit.
All right.
We were sipping on another 1123.
A really nice 1123.
Definitely not a beginner buy because the budget is blown out the water on this one. Do you taste the similarities?
It's funny how it brought me back to a little bit of the memory of what we were just sipping earlier. Yeah. And I loved the green grassy came out a little more for me on that second sip. How about you?
The green grassy came out a little more minerality. I went in looking for mint.
Okay.
And I still didn't get it. I get it on the nose. This is nice little hint of mint.
I'm with you.
I don't necessarily get it on the palate, but the minerality kicked up along with more citrus, more grass. Again, everything just goes to 11.
I can't argue with you. It is a great beginner tequila. This is so delicious.
This one, I mean, I bought this in Mexico.
Sure.
And I don't know. The credit card had a good exchange rate, so I hesitate to talk about price on this one. But in the States, this is consistently under $40 and for the Blanco.
Almost anywhere. It's a decent tequila store. You're going to find it, right?
I think at any place that has a decent tequila selection, you're going to find this one.
Yeah.
So real quick on this one, again, this is the Mexico release, 38%, 76 proof. This is a Valley agave.
Okay.
The Valley is still pretty high elevation.
I was going to say.
But, you know, all things being relative. Deep well water fermentation, stainless steel tanks, which I think is giving us that crystal clear.
Yeah.
Still type is a stainless pot with copper coil.
Okay.
Do you have any insight on what a stainless pot would do versus a copper pot?
I just know that copper is necessary to draw out the sulfur when you are distilling an alcohol. So I'm only guessing this point, but perhaps there's less sulfur to pull out, but they still need it for some sulfur to pull out at that final, when it's coiling through, the vapors are going through.
Well, that would make sense then, yeah. And I would assume stainless, seeing as how my kitchen is full of stainless stuff and not a lot of copper, it's probably also a lot less expensive. I have to imagine.
And durable.
Yeah.
Easy to clean the next batch, the next round. Yeah, right.
So maybe in keeping with the budget line, the stainless pot is part of that cost of production.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Crushing is a roller mill, 2x distilled like all tequila, stone brick ovens, and again, additive free. Should we talk about
It's kind of a hot topic. Do we want to bring up some news? I mean,
yeah, I'm not exactly sure when this gets dropped and how old of news this is, but within a couple weeks of recording and within the last month or two of dropping, whenever this gets dropped, our tequila friends Grover and Scarlett had their home raided, by some mix of federales and alcohol. What is the alcohol, tobacco, firearms, ATF in, in Mexico?
Right. Some running with the law. Yeah.
Yeah. So Grover was not at all shy about his at-home distilling project. And depending on who you ask on social media, this is either 100% legal or 100% illegal.
Yeah.
And don't you know what the laws in Mexico are? No, I don't. But he had grabbed a couple of big agave piñas from, Fortaleza, Cascajuín.
He's got friends.
He's got friends. So he got some high-quality agave. He roasted it himself. He crushed it himself. He tried to do the whole thing at home, and he created this home brew. He called it Lotecito. And I'm sure that if you hadn't put it on social media, nobody would care.
No one would even know.
I think my neighbor down the street makes like gallons of wine.
Sure.
Nobody cares because it's not like he's selling it or putting it on social media.
Right.
Around Thanksgiving to Christmas time, a bottle shows up on the front porch.
Yeah.
I think maybe poking the CRT bear.
It doesn't. We don't have to go very far to understand where their motives lie.
Right. And so you've got this huge, what I'm going to call quasi-governmental agency, because it's not anything to do with the government.
Right.
It's a regulatory agency that is funded by the tequila producers.
The labels, yeah.
So the CRT is the regulatory body. There's a lot of speculation of, well, Mexican authorities just decided, here's a guy who's producing at home, advertising it on social media, we're going to go get him. And I tend to think, I think the CRT maybe had something to do with this. So they raided their house, took the entire tequila collection. Sounds like 450 bottles were confiscated.
That's the part that breaks my heart. I'm not upset that they lost their still or that they lost whatever quasi-chemistry experiment might have been going on.
Yeah.
You took the man's collection. If somebody came in and took my bottles, I mean, I would be, not to make a joke of this, but I would be like John Belushi in Animal House.
Right.
They took the bar. Right.
Niedermeyer, dead.
So my heart truly goes out to them.
No, I think that they are being...
That's someone's pride and joy right there.
Right.
I'm sure there were some beauties in there. And I'm heartbroken.
The home distilling equipment, if you have like a big stock pot that you one of those things that's about 14, 16 inches tall.
Yeah, sure.
Right, that you cook your chili in and, that's the size of his stovetop copper still.
Right.
Like, this was not something that was going to make bottles for distribution.
Cases and cases.
Right, right. So, at times past, we have mentioned, if the CRT was going to do something, they would have done it. Well, they did it.
Yeah, yeah. And time will tell yet as to, what's the backlash on the other side? What's going to happen?
Right. It has brought up an interesting discussion, and I don't know if we're going to have it today, but maybe we have it another time. There were some folks who said, hey, love what Grover and Scarlett were doing in terms of the transparency, but that humans at this point eat so many additives. You get anything out of a box, out of a bag, out of a can, half the time, even in the freezer section or the butcher section, it's been, that pork loin has been injected with something.
Yeah, right. Scary to think about sometimes.
Right. We eat so many additives that are additives really the issue in tequila, or should we talk about monocropping? This is all Blue Weber agave.
That is definitely the bigger issue that is sort of creeping under the radar.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we be talking about the working conditions and the pay of most jimadores, the men and women that go out in the fields and harvest these things?
Absolutely.
Should we be talking about food and water insecurity, which I think is like this weird PC term that I hate? That's hunger and, you know, drinking shit water.
Decent sanitary water, right.
You know, and like, are those the bigger issues in rural Mexico? Or should we be worried that somebody put some glycerin in some tequila for the mouthfeel? To be clear, I'm repeating what somebody else brought up.
Right, but I guess my comeback would say that if you are supporting, not to put them together, but the Patrons and the Cuervos, how much money is going towards any of what you just said?
Right, right.
Hey, it's a great topic. Yeah, we should, you know, maybe call our buddy Mike and see what his take on it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
there are people who know more than us.
You think? And
by people, I mean everyone.
Everyone.
But my friend, I think it's time.
Time for what?
It is time for the quick sips.
I'm looking forward to this. I mean, it's going to be interesting.
We haven't really had a dud on one of these beginner buy episodes.
No,
some are better than others.
Some are better than others. Yeah.
And really, we did not taste these back and forth and pair these for the sip.
Right. It was not pre-planned. Yeah.
This is truly, are they on the shelf? Are they affordable? Is it approachable? Is this something a beginner can sip on?
Absolutely.
So whether this is your 40th, 50th episode, or your first, I'll remind everybody that the quick sip is where we take a sip of the whiskey. We're going to nose it, sip it, give it its time, give it its due, let it finish, but don't let that finish run all the way out, because then we'll go straight into the tequila. And we want to see, what did the whiskey bring out in the tequila? And then we'll flip it and reverse it and
smack it up.
Smack
it. Rub it down.
And we will do tequila to the whiskey. But this first one, remind us what we have in our whiskey glass. We've got these beautiful Glencairns this gorgeous copper. Look at this. This thing does not look like a $20 pour, my man.
Yeah.
$20 bottle.
Right. Yeah. Oh. It looks gorgeous. This is the 100 proof JTS Brown. So maybe a slightly smaller sip.
Oh, don't forget the formula.
To go.
You love the formula. I love the formula. The formula is basically volume times proof equals
the relative heat in my mug.
You got it. So we're going to have to take a slightly smaller sip of the whiskey, slightly bigger sip of the 76 proof tequila, just so we can equalize that relative heat.
Let's go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is Rebecca Sue Neely, and you're listening to Whiskey Tequila Fridays podcast.
All right, can I go first?
Go.
Number one, going back into this JTS Brown.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's really good tonight. I don't know. Like, I'm glad the bottle's gone, because that's a dangerously good whiskey.
You would be Ubering home if we had more of this. That is really good.
It's really good.
It stayed true. It was delicious. Caramel-covered fruit.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I got. And then into this Cascajuin, kicked up the mint. I finally got some mint, but it was more later palate. In the beginning, grassy, agave, earthy, into mineral, and then this nice kick up of mint.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
I'm with you 100%. Dare I say, there's a component of anise it's almost like mint. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Anise kind of has like an herbal quality and then like a deep spice quality to it. So the top part of the anise, the the more delicate part. Because for me, I got like a more of an anise note.
That's really interesting. For sure. For sure. Yeah, it's all on a spectrum.
It is.
And
it is.
Mint into anise is somewhere. There's only a continuum.
And it's just one note. There are tons of other things. The right. green agave.
Right.
The cooked agave came out. Yeah, that was lovely. It was really good.
I mean, that's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
That was so enjoyable. Let's rinse out real quick. Let's keep it fair.
Hi, this is Dave from Starwood Whiskey, and you're listening to Whiskey Tequila Fridays.
All right, rinsed and ready?
Ready.
All right. So this time, we are first going to take a little nose of the Cascojuin Blanco. Again, this is the Mexico release, but you can find it on the shelf anywhere in the U.S. This one is the 76 proof. You're going to get 80 proof. Doesn't matter. They're both delicious. We're going to give it a nose, give it a taste. Let the finish go, but not all the way out. Jump straight into the whiskey, the JTS Brown. My friend, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Salud.
Salud.
Hey, this is Sean Miller from the Package Group. We import agave spirits like Tequila G4, and you are listening to the Whiskey Tequila Fridays podcast.
That was a long finish.
It was. It was. I really liked the caramel note.
Yep. Yep.
Like, beautiful, big caramel note in the beginning of the whiskey. The second spirit, the whiskey, not as much fruit as I would have liked. The finish kind of went into spice. But I'll tell you what I liked. On the tail end of the finish, I got some agave. Agave came back.
Agave came back?
Like it was still lingering on my palate enough that when the bourbon settled down, that the agave was still there, you know? Just like the little, like the campfire the next morning can just be a little smoke, kind of just a little billow of smoke coming out.
Yes.
I liked it. That was good.
Wow. So going back into the Cascojuin Blanco, I got a nice anise in the finish, whether it's because you said it or because I really tasted it. But you know what it was more like? It was more like anise extract.
The herb.
But I mean, like, have you ever made, there's this like little Italian wafer cookies called like Pizzellis?
Pizzelli? Yes.
It's almost like my wife's family makes it, and they're not at all Italian, but for whatever reason, they like these cookies. But like, it's like that dough where it's the uncooked, anise extract inside all the sugary and everything else.
So is that like is it like liquid form?
Yeah,
like an eye drop?
Yeah,
they put like two drops of...
Okay. Yeah, just like vanilla extract or any other extract.
It's, so like it's a distilled essential oil, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the Cascojuin was giving me.
I'm loving it.
On top of all the beautiful grassy notes and everything else, but
sure.
I got that. And then I'm with you. This kind of deadened the fruit, but it made it last forever. So instead of being like caramel-covered red fruit in your face, it was more like it was in the background.
Yeah.
But it was in the background for 4 minutes.
It was a long finish.
And then my cheeks were tingling. That was an experience.
To have these two on your shelf, to sit back and forth. Oh.
Right.
We found another nice pairing.
It's a great pairing. If you had to pick a winner,
I think I would go whiskey to the
Me
tequila.
Too. Me too.
It was glorious.
I was curious if you would go back the other way just because of that super long finish.
Yeah.
Like we always talk about smacking our lips for 2 minutes. That was literally a 2 minute lip smacker.
When the mic is off, you and I are just sipping back and forth. We're not like waiting or resting or timing it or rinsing. It's constantly changing and evolving as you go.
Right. Somebody mentioned that they thought we were really on to something with the quick sip. Right on cue. But they just said that, you know, like we're on to something here that most people aren't doing. You don't see people going to the bar saying, give me a whiskey neat, give me a tequila neat, and I'm going to sip them back and forth.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Right.
That's mixing. That's you know,
unheard of.
Right. But this really works. We've got
it does.
Even at this beginner level, these budget buys, it works.
And I think you're right when you equate it more to like wine and cheese or a champagne with a chocolate. There are certain things that just really hit together.
Right.
These just hit sometimes.
Anybody picked up these two bottles and sipped back and forth, it'd be a great day.
It will. And you're going to find something new. You're going to help. It's a great way to train your palate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We talk about, I get friends that say, I don't know what you're tasting. I don't know how you're tasting that. My advice, drink more. You just have to drink
what?
More. You have to drink more to learn and teach your palate, right? Any final words? Are we ready
to wrap it up? I hope everybody picks up these two bottles and sips along, because these are everywhere. If you've got a big chain liquor store near your home, you're going to find these bottles.
Yes. Yep.
So pick them up, sip along, see if you can taste what we're tasting, see what you taste. Let us know what you taste. Let us know what you smell.
Let us know
what you think about the quick sips. And let's keep the conversation going.
Keep it moving.
Let's wrap it up.
I love it. All right. So thanks, guys. We want to ask that you continue to like and follow and subscribe. Leave a rating. Give us a 5-star. Leave a comment. We will read it.
If we've got a review, we will read it and you get a t-shirt at some point in the future.
How nice is that? Drew has promised a t-shirt. So... We want to ask that you drink responsibly. Check out our Facebook group. You can join the conversation, join in, you know, the community that we are building. Be sure to find us on all of the socials. We are on Threads. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook, Instagram. Look for us at Whiskey Tequila Fridays. We want to thank Joby once again for our music. And if you like drinking whiskey and you like drinking tequila,
then it's always a Friday.
Happy Friday, Drew.
Happy Friday, Matt.
Well, we appreciate y'all hanging, but now it's time to go. Well, come on back for more Whiskey Tequila Friday show.
Our huge social media following.
Our presence.
Yes, our dozens of followers.
We love you guys.
We still love you. We do. We have to.